from the Mercy One Studio.
Making it personal with Bishop William Joneson on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.
Welcome to Making It Personal with Bishop Joneson. On today's show, we're visiting with Jim Berlucci, Executive Director of the Spitzer Center, who recently presented our Diocesan Priest Workshop on the Four Levels of Happiness. But before we get to today's interview, let's find out what's on Bishop Joneson's mind.
Oh, good morning, Kelly, and trying to make it a landing here, living on the edge as well, finding out about Des Moines traffic and things. So
I was sweating.
Well, it's an exercise in deepening our faith with each other and our trust in the Holy Spirit
there
as
you
well.
Go.
So, but glorious Mass last Sunday, 30th anniversary of the elevation of St. John Church to the level of a minor basilica, and Father Aquinas Nichols and his whole staff and the parishioners just put forward a splendid liturgy. You know, 30 years following on the heels of the 10-year anniversary of the Pope John Paul's visit to the Living History Farms, which he talked about last week as well. So that had been a petition that Monsignor Frank Chiodo, the pastor at the time, had put forward. Bishop Bullock had assisted, and so that glorious occasion as well. So I think, you know, just that sense of even the closeness with the successor of Peter and a basilica and things, the kind of interesting feature of a basilica and the emblems of the umbrella and things that used to be kind of a symbol of papal power, but I think now a kind of symbol of protection of the kind of arms of Peter and things, you know, the colonnade, obviously, at St. Peter's Basilica, but that level of solidarity and again, as a baby bishop, to be able to do that as well. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday night at St. Pius X Parish in Urbandale, we had a great, again, in the series that Father Ross Parker, Vocation Director for the Diocese, had put together an Andrew Dinner. These Andrew Dinners, kind of thinking of the call that was given to Apostle Andrew to say, you know, come and see for yourself. So we had 10 young men who were open to the prospect of priesthood, and so some of our diocesan priests were there, just sharing at a very informal level and just kind of speaking to that spark that's already in these young men and answering questions and holding up something that, and women alike, we want to live for something beyond ourselves. And I think that's what we're going to be talking about in our second segment. We're not just interested in a job and making a lot of money. You know, there's recent studies that are showing that even sometimes beyond family and income, people want to live something that is going to meet this passion that they have. Mm-hmm. And I think the priesthood is one of those ways that unites all that, and so many different ways of living priesthood, obviously. But so I just was really impressed with the character and the quality of this young man, and thanks for the host at St. Pius X, too. Wednesday, the first ever Signales Summit session, John Gaffney and his Faith Formation Evangelization people from the diocese gathering ministers from parishes and things in the diocese in St. John's and Adel Parish. And we were facilitated with Dr. Javier Rosco, who's the Executive Director of Human Dignity and Intercultural Affairs for the Archdiocese of St. Louis. He joined us and kind of walked us through kind of taking stock of where we are and what are the needs are, and building on the fifth Encuentro of 2013, the National Encuentro, and beginning to formulate some objectives for the immediate years coming. How do we best respond to the signs of the times and see for not only our Hispanic brothers and sisters, but people of all cultures, and some more to come with that. But the Region 9 Hispanic ministers, again, will be gathering this coming week in Griswold at the Jesuit Retreat Center. Again, Dr. Orozco will be back with Hispanic ministers from Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, and Iowa in Griswold, so that'll be important. And then something we'll hear a little bit more about, but obviously October is the month of Respect Life and thinking about all the different facets of the gospel of life, which John Paul, it's not some new Gnostic gospel that's been discovered in some jars in the Qumran region or anything like that. It's really the overall synthesis of what the message of Jesus, that our life is a share in the life of the Holy Trinity, blesses us and builds us up, but how do we allow that abundant life to carry over for those who maybe are feeling flagging a little bit in their lives too. So I think this whole month we're reflecting on that and trying to energize those who are not so much well-disposed, who are maybe in their own way given rise to a form of despair and the culture of death, which can easily divide us from each other. So more to come as we think about happiness in a moment.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
The Men Up West Power Lunch is Friday, October 11th at noon in the St. Francis of Assisi St. Clair Room. The lunch topic this month will be Coming Home, the stories of three Catholic men who returned to active life in the faith. Lunch will be provided by Chick-fil-A. Learn more about the Men Up West Power Lunch at iowacatholicradio.com.
The Catholic Tuition Organization provides tuition assistance for families to send their kids to our Catholic schools and 65% Iowa tax credits for you. Give to ctoiowa.org.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, Dr. Christine Mulcahy, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
I am beautiful, no matter what they say. Words can't bring me down. I am beautiful in every single way. Yes, words can't bring me down. No, no. So don't you bring me down.
Welcome back. I'm Kelly Mesher Collins, Diocese of Des Moines. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. On today's show, we're visiting with Jim Berlucci, Executive Director of the Spitzer Center, who's recently presented at our Diocesan Priest Workshop on the four levels of happiness.
Good to have you with us, Jim. Thank you again for giving us some time here in the Des Moines Diocese after really giving a kind of a enlivening group that we might have. And so to do that, it was kind of interesting as He appears with the Spitzer Center, which appears in tandem with Father Robert Spitzer, who formerly president of Seattle University, obviously familiar to many of you watching on EWTN and other places as well. So his presentation kind of opened up some things. We know so many people are kind of trying to sell us a formula for happiness in our lives, trying to kind of open us up to something that maybe, something new, something that kind of captures and dazzles us for a moment. But I think Jim's great gift was in being able to bring forward the great Catholic tradition, but in a way that was lively, funny, and had us able to not only reflect upon ourselves, but to laugh at ourselves at times, too, and the different things that we're about. I mean, some could say, hey, what are your plans this weekend? What's going to lead you to a happy weekend, if you will? And some might say, well, if my favorite sports team wins, if I get the barbecue right, it doesn't rain, and get a little downtime and things like that, and that could be part of a recipe for happiness. But Jim, what would you respond? And thank you again for joining us as we kind of think about different ways, different pursuits that we have, and how those all play into maybe something that's already rumbling around in our hearts.
Well, thank you, Bishop Johnson. Well, I like all those options you just presented. Matter of fact, I better get some good steaks here for this weekend from Iowa.
Well, you don't want that Omaha stuff. Oh, no, sorry, folks from Omaha. Those are great, too.
Yeah, you got your stuff. You're a little unhappy.
Whoops, you got to learn how to.
So any complaints on that comment can come directly to me because I provoked that.
Take one for the team there.
Well, you're noting, Bishop, that we all desire happiness. It's very instinctive. But what we talk about, the insight that we've shared, is that there's four types or four levels of happiness. One you talked about right there is immediate gratification of a good barbecue. Mm-hmm. That's physical happiness. And it's short-lived, but very, very good. The second type, as you go up, is what we call ego gratification, or feeling good about oneself, one's accomplishment status, et cetera. And that's a good thing. Also, it's good for us to have accomplishments. Matter of fact, you have many accomplishments in your life, not the least of which is a PhD, which took a lot of effort, but I'm sure that gave you satisfaction.
But my dad always said, that stands for piled higher and deeper, the engineer. So that always kept me humble.
My wife and I were talking about that just last night, that very phrase, PhD. And a third level, now both of those are about me, but a third level is really about relationships. It's about friendship, connecting, contribution to others. And that's where we experience a kind of deeper level of happiness, right? When we're laughing together, even in this last few moments, there's a kind of unity and fraternity that we experience in love that is deeply satisfying. And then finally, you know, we have this desire for God. And even people who don't believe in God have a desire for something beyond this world and a perfect, complete, eternal, unconditioned, unrestricted happiness. And we call that God, of course. And we're ordered for all four of these. And what we talk about to a significant degree is how do we orchestrate our choices here? And particularly, how do we make sure that we order our desires, our choices, toward making sure we give proper attention to the higher levels of happiness, which sometimes can be more elusive and a little harder to, you know, they're not as obvious as an Iowa or Omaha steak, right? So it's a little less material. So as you go up the scale, it becomes less material, and therefore it can be a little bit harder.
All right, and to discover that in a way that, you know, as you say, sometimes it might seem impersonal, but in fact, as Christians, we believe it's very personal, but so awesome and so all-encompassing in the love that we ultimately are longing for. You travel around the country. You're fortunate to speak to different groups, including groups here in Iowa. Do you think, as you encounter people, that most of the time people arrive at a certain place in their lives where they really know what makes them happy, or do you think sometimes we can get stuck at one of the levels?
Well, that's a really good question. I think as people get older, they get more clues, and they have more experience, and I think they particularly get more clues on what makes them unhappy.
Hmm.
So I think we can tend to look back with greater clarity and say, ah, that was a bad choice back there when I was 18 or 20 or whatever it might have been, or even more recently. So I think we get clear on what makes us unhappy. I think a lot of people do get a deeper sense of, you know, the greater levels of meaning or happiness. But I think a lot of people don't quite put it all together. You know, they haven't quite figured it out. And that's one of the reasons we like to talk a lot about these four levels, because it provides a kind of menu. And I can ask myself, well, am I happy at level one, at level two, level three? Or how about level four? Do I have happiness in my relationship with God? And is this something that gives me deep and profound satisfaction? So I think that a lot of people are kind of muddled, even as they get older. But they still have the craving. And did you...
And I think, as I noted, one of the things you did with the priest is kind of asked us to reflect on what are signs that maybe we're getting a little bit skewed or imbalanced in the pursuit of these different levels and unhealthy signs. You know, and for perfectionists, like some of us might find ourselves to be, you know, now I've got four levels here. Well, I got to get to the fourth level here. I got to do this, you know, and get very sweated and bearing down in that way. And then when it becomes another competition almost, and social media can play into this as well, because people are kind of putting a certain profile of themselves, and gosh, if you just took a level of appearances, well, lots of happy people out there, but we know that's not always the truth, that, you know, a lot of discouragement, perhaps depression and things like that. You can just invite you. Is there a question in there, we might say, or a statement? Just inviting your response. Some signs of unhealthiness, competition, jealousy.
That is a very good question. And what we find a lot in our culture is there's, you know, the research has indicated about 70% of Americans, their dominant view of happiness is level two. That is, if I'm, quote, successful in my job or successful material accumulation, I'll be happy. And we have lots of access in our culture. You know, we have a lot of opportunities, and there's a lot of propaganda that, you know, commercially entices us toward material and reputational happiness, and that competition and jealousy and so on and so forth. So I think a lot of people get stuck at level two. You know, they get stuck that they've been groomed for a certain, quote, success, and chase that success, and then when they attain it, they still feel a kind of emptiness. You know, is that all there is? That old Peggy Lee song. Is this all there is?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because our souls are designed. Yes, we do want that kind of happiness, but it's meant to be pointed up towards something more profound, namely love of God and love of neighbor and a good relationship. So I think that a lot of people get stuck at level two, but they don't quite know what's going on, but they know there's something not right. And so that sometimes that stimulates them to seek the higher goods. You know, they finally got it. As a matter of fact, there's a quote by Jim Carrey, the famous actor, and this is a rough paraphrase, but he says something like, "I wish everyone, every American could experience great wealth and celebrity status and find out for themselves how miserable that can be." Because that's all he wanted. And he got it to a great degree, end up being miserable. And so he's quite thoughtful about this. And so I think this we see this in the life of a lot of celebrities. They achieve great successes. But that doesn't necessarily translate into happy. So I think a long answer to, I think a lot of us get stuck at level two.
Yeah.
We kind of get stuck there.
Oh, I like long answers, but sometimes our radio listeners. That sense, I'm sure he was speaking kind of hypothetically there. I mean, do I wish all my friends were wealthy? Well, you know, obviously I think I have a stake in that, and I'll share that, but that kind of like-mindedness leads to a kind of monotone life in that way. There might be a Christian tension in all this, though, because when we think about, you know, trying to emulate the saints today, St. John the 23rd, the Pope who called the Second Vatican Council, you know, you got an old, fat, bald Italian white guy there, and yet he seemed like a very happy, happy man, you know? And so we're trying to imitate and capture, and I think each of the saints shows a certain profile of God's infinite love in that way. But so as we strive to imitate them, we're also conscious of what we're not, too. And then we think about, you know, the more our desire for the infinite, for ultimate love, unconditional love, we're always aware of the notness of that and that kind of restlessness that St. Augustine talked about. So do you think we're kind of caught in a predicament as human beings? Is God playing a joke on us here?
Well, that's a question that a good philosopher would ask. I wonder where you got that question. I think we have this desire for this ultimate happiness, of course. But in this life, you know, St. Thomas says happiness is twofold. The one is imperfect and is had in this life, and the other is perfect, consisting in the vision of heaven. So he's saying, we can have happiness. God wants us to have happiness in this life, but it's going to be imperfect. We're never going to have total, complete happiness. We're designed for the vision of God, for heaven. And that is the point at which we participate. But even the frustration that we experience, it can be a motivation. But there's no doubt that life is filled with sadness. And I share the story of just last May, one of my daughters suddenly lost her 2-year-old son. And it was on May 16th. It was a horrific sadness for us, for our whole family, and obviously for her and her husband, the two other little ones. Now, that sadness will be with her and with us forever, you know, in this life. But we can nonetheless continue to participate in the imperfect happiness we have in this world and know that that little boy was a child of God, baptized, is with God, and one day we will, our frustration, our sadness will be wiped away. It will be swallowed up in God's, you know, complete love and mercy. So, no, I don't think he's tricking us. He wants us to experience happiness in this life and gives us many, many blessings all around us to experience. At the same time, to know that we're not really made for this world, ultimately. You know, we're abiding here, Amen. We're pilgrimaging here, but we're not really made for this world. We're destined for a much, much better world. No eye can see, ear hear, nor the heart of man imagine that God has for us. It just, no matter how lofty and imaginative we can think about God's love and total joy and ecstasy, we can't even come close to knowing what it's going to be like.
Amen. You're stirring something, I think, in many hearts of our listeners, and certainly for myself, as you share that very poignant and personal, yet painful example for us from your own life, and that stirring of longing. And I think, you know, as I've encountered some of the commentators on St. Thomas, that, you know, that sense of, can we get there from here? You know, I felt that way this morning trying to get to the radio show. Can I get there from here? You know, are there alternate routes, that we might arrive? But that ultimately, God hasn't doomed us by making us, you know, limited, contingent beings, but that by the network of friendships that we can form, that we draw each other to this, and so that merging of the third and fourth levels that you talk about, and that the friends, you know, I once had a mentor in my life who said, "My friends are the best. My friends are the best." And I think it wasn't because he was being so exclusive, but he just felt that being around true friends in his life drew out the real goodness and his real capacity in a way that, you know, sometimes we've got some people that we associate with that we kind of, you know, go to that lower level, you know, and we don't necessarily bring out. We bring out, you know, kind of the base side of things. And so I think we have to be discerning in that and kind of see where. And it doesn't mean we become elitist and we're not going to relate to people, but at that same time. And so that ultimate desire to see each other face to face, and during this October Respect Life Month, that those who, the little ones among us, maybe those who maybe don't even see the light of day and leave this earth prior to coming to birth, that those too are among those that we hope to see. Last question here, as time's kind of winding down. So you've got your own community and your own household, or, you know, this is good news that you're sharing with us. Do you feel that you're a prophet without honor in your own household? I think you told us that you have 6 daughters and 2 sons. are they receptive to you, or do you feel that your expert status in these things, having reflected on them, carries over more beyond the household?
Well, we do have 8. You had that right, Bishop, but it's not quite as you described it. We have all boys.
All boys.
6. So, and thank you. You've given me a great consolation, because I thought that when my children don't particularly respond favorably to me, I thought that was maybe something else. But now I know I'm basically a prophet without honor in my own house. And I heard that from a bishop. My God.
Yeah. There are no awards or signature of emblems of office that come with that. So thank you very much, Jim Berlucci. You've given us your time, and may God continue to bless you and prosper your family and your work, even as you're, I understand, transitioning in your own life, maybe to looking at your involvement with the Spitzer Center and a different level of intensity. So again, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Bishop Johnson.
Peace.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, Dr. Christine Mulcahy, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Doing what is challenging because it's right. That's Blackbird Investments. In 2013, Blackbird Investments was born from the inspiration of St. Kevin. When it comes to building real estate, they look for creative solutions by forming strategic alliances, creating energy-efficient buildings, and engaging with local craftsmen. At its core, Blackbird Investments believes in giving buildings a new life. BlackbirdInvest.com. Blackbird Investments, doing what is challenging because it's right.
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel.
Welcome back. I'm Kelly Metra Collins from Diocese of Des Moines. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. And final thoughts?
I, again, really appreciate Jim Berlucci's time there, and I would have thought perhaps with the priests, many of whom have had some background in philosophy and reflected on Aristotle, his ethics, and Aquinas and Augustine, but they seem very enlivened, and I think it's always good for us to have those moments where we can just kind of take a step back and be reflective in this kind of hectic, hastened world, the pace that we all try to keep as we're pulled in so many different directions. And so I think, you know, the insights that are there and gaining wisdom from those choices we've made and the things that really deliver on the goods that we have. So I'm maybe as I feel like I'm facing the fire hose in my first days, I think this week is the first week I really felt like I was settling into the role of bishop. And again, finally responding maybe to some requests. But people are being so kind, and they seem to get it with me. And so they're kind of honoring my own humanity, even as they look for great hope and what God can do in that. And so hopefully we enable each other to take steps along that path to happiness that are there. So one of the upcoming events for me this week that I'm looking forward to, certainly the reputation of the World Food Prize organization here in Des Moines, under the leadership of Ambassador Ken Quinn, who's been the director for some time, and I think he's in his final year this year. And give a shout out as Ambassador Quinn, a Loris Duhok as well. So he approached me to give a kind of a keynote address this coming Monday in the Hunger Summit that they're having at the International Symposium of the Borlaug Dialogue this week here in Des Moines. And so his particular hook was that, again, the message of John Paul II at Living History Farms, and talking about farmers and awakening that hunger that we have. And so they'll be giving the award to the laureate this year, Simon Groot, but I think the message of John Paul II and Simon Groot resonates very much. So grateful to Ambassador Quinn to be able to do that. I'll be making my way to St. Boniface Parish tomorrow morning on Saturday, offering confirmation to those young people. And something I'm going to try to do on a regular basis, and quite honestly, I stole this from Bishop Zinkula over in Davenport Diocese, is always to try and meet with the confirmandi an hour before the actual confirmation mass. And I think that way we're not just kind of strangers kind of gathered together accidentally, but really for them to share some of their thoughts, what the gifts of the Holy Spirit mean and the challenges that they face, who have been some of the mentors, and also those who've accompanied them along the way. And so that sense of accompanying along the way is what Pope Francis is really commending to us in thinking about synodality. And that's something that permeates all levels of the church as we walk with each other. And I think what we were talking about in the last segment with friendship as well. I will give caution that the lot of things going on with the Synod on the Amazon taking place at the Vatican right now. It's an extraordinary synod, these gathering of representative church leaders and cardinals and experts who are there. And I think this exercise in synodality and reflecting on what that means, we want to give people that sense that we'll let the Holy Spirit guide and not to be afraid that something is going to be disruptive.
Thank you for listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners in Iowa, Nebraska, and Wisconsin on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
You can hear Making It Personal with Bishop William Johnson every week on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.